You might like to open your Bible to Revelation and chapter 5. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word. Thank you for your grace. Here we are, Spirit of God, honor Calvary's cross, and our Father will thank you in Christ's name, amen. In our exercise of the Revelation chapter 5, as we've been doing, you want to think as we're doing this now tonight, in order to come to know the Lord as your Savior, in order to know and be saved, you have to recognize and agree with God's judgment. God's judgment of your heart. That's how you're going to have to get saved. We aren't inviting a friend into dinner or something. We're inviting a Savior to save us. And in order to do so, I must understand that I need to be saved. And I, in order to be saved, I recognize that I am the wages of sin is death, etc. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. God, your judgment of me is correct, and I recognize that judgment. That's how I got saved. That's how we get saved. We're looking at Revelation, and we were able to sing like we have. And we're looking at Revelation 5. So here we are on planet Earth, recognizing God's judgment and being saved. Revelation chapter 5, we're seated up in God's holy heaven, and we're there. And at that point, we're recognizing as the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain, is going to open the seven sealed book, and the judgment of God judgments of God are going to take place. Awesome judgments. We recognize his judgment of us here, and we're going to recognize his judgments on the world there. That's what we're going to do. And so the more we need to be totally relaxed. In me dwelleth no good thing. When you got saved, you had no idea how lost you were. You didn't know how lost you were till you got saved. And you grow. You don't know how much of a sinner you are till you get saved. And you grow. You just don't realize what God has done. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, we're reading about God's wonderful future for us to be able to sing the song of redemption. And what we sing here is how we understand being saved in the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. There, we're going to have full understanding without any question. At that point, we're able to understand being saved like we never knew it here. And we're going to realize we're saved as we see his nail-pierced hand taking the scroll to open the seals. We know we're saved. We're going to realize we're saved. We're going to sing we're saved. Now, with that in mind, if we can, so I want to, what I'd like to try to do in order to exercise we're going to go and understand what God is giving us information about there, and so that we can know what's going to be there, and then and have a little bit of understanding up here, so that we can understand each thing. Now, so in the process, chapter 5, picking up, remember, all the heaven's occupants are occupied with worship. And worthy is the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world, and the Lion of the tribe of Judah, etc. And so, the Creator who created us, we're able to honor Him, the Creator that created us, the one who died for us. So, in verse 8, we read and did all those. We're going to come with a golden cup, golden bowls, as it were, vials, bowls. And as it were, we're going to be able to have those bowls. What are we putting in the bowls? All of it's to illustrate. We're going to put in the bowls incense. Old Testament, they brought in incense into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. They brought in incense, and the incense and the altar of incense in front of the curtain in the Holy of Holies. Incense, the sweet, Leviticus chapter 1, the burnt offering, the sweet offering of incense, the animal sacrifice, raising to God, is a sweet savor to God. It's an honor to God. God's honoring His Son from the foundation of the world, who is going to die. So here's the incense. The incense, we don't have to guess at it, in verse 8, are the prayers of the saints. So our prayers, we did all this. So it's our relationship to God, the vine and the branch. And we're related to God to enjoy God and exercise our relationship to God. So that as we do that, it's a pleasure to God. And God has made all of this, I think we, Philippians 2, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh, verse 13, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. And God is what? What is God doing? He's helping us understand being saved, having a relationship to God. Prayerfully, we exercise the relationship. It is pleasing to God. It is a sweet fragrance to God. Here, as we exercise walking in the light as He is in the light, until we're there, where it is perfect. Here it is interrupted, our carnal nature, our old nature. We're off and on. We're with it for a day. We may be out of fellowship, not looking to God a whole week, you know, and then we look to God because it's Sunday or something, and we do that. There, not like that. You'll be perfect. There is no more time. And you perfectly will enjoy a perfect relationship to God. The vine and the branch, perfect. That's an awesome thing. It will require and make for a new song that we're going to sing. Something we didn't understand here, but we will there. And the prayers of the saints. So in verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, nation. In other words, the whosoevers that are saved in this church age are all there. So we are all there. It's our relationships to God that are to be honored. And we are privileged, as we're there, to have a very prestigious position. And we're going to be in verse 10, He has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth when He comes. So God, it's an awesome thing that we have, and God has given us to be seated in heavenly places. We're seated where he is. We're seated because he's seated, as we shared in Sunday school. We're seated there to enjoy a wonderful position, to reign. He rules and reigns. He's the Lord. We enjoy that rule and reign as kings. We enjoy the access straightway. The priest could go, the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. And Jesus Christ, as we think of Hebrews, the Lord Jesus Christ has opened the door so that we can come freely as priest before God in all of its, with all access, having an audience, having a relationship. Wow. Kings and priests. So we're there to exercise this relationship in a new song. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, here we are in chapter 9 and 10. So, having this excellent, wonderful, wonderful relationship as kings and priests, you will notice, please, in verse 11. And I beheld with my eyes, and I heard with my ears the voice of many angels. Now, as you're going through Revelation, if we were doing that right at the moment, you'd be reading and giving a rough guess at it. Do you see the word to beheld, to see with the eyes, to see? It is used 56 times. John is going to say, I see, I see, I see, I see, I see. And he's going to say, I heard. Not only did I, am I a witness, I saw all of this. I saw this. I heard this. I heard this. And so we have that 32 plus or minus times. I heard it. I saw and I heard. I am a real witness to what is going to be. And God has given him the privilege to be that witness. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, one place that will help us to do this, over in Isaiah 43. And in Isaiah chapter 43, picking up if I can, and you will notice, as you know, verse 10, Israel, I'll read verse 7. Everyone that is called by my name, 43:7. I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Verse 10. What for? You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. Purpose, that you may know and believe me. Know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Verse 11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Having got that unique relationship as witnesses to know him as Lord and Savior, slide over to verse 21. This people that I've created for my name, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. And the word praise is two words, to shine and to sound, to make a sound and to shine like the sun. Both belong in the same praise, the praise, to shine and to sound. John is going to see and hear. What's Israel to do? They're made to show, to be like light shining, and to sound, and they say with their voice, and see, and they're shining, and the sound goes forth, the light goes forth, in order that it might glorify God in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, back over to Hebrew Revelation, and in chapter 5. And in Revelation chapter 5, picking up, please, if I may, in verse 11. And by the way, as I do this, let me just say one other thing. You'll notice, we might as well take it in order. Verse 11, I beheld and I heard a voice of many, many angels round about the throne, surrounding the throne, the beast and the elders. The whole, as it were, assembled body in heaven are surrounded as the Lamb takes the book. Heaven bears witness that the Lamb is worthy to exercise and execute Revelation 6 through 19 and plus. He is the worthy one. There's no exceptions. Everyone is on the same page. And thus, verse 11, and the beast and elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands and thousands. And 1,000,000 is 1,000,000. So it's 10,000 times 10,000, thousands, 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 thousands. That's a lot of people, a lot of angels. I got to tell you, that's one big crowd. One big crowd. Wow. That's what I saw. I saw it, said John. All I could do is thousands and thousands, myriad, the word myriad, 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 thousands and thousands. That's what there are, thousands. Wow. And we're there. Now, having said that, thousands and thousands and thousands. So God, having said that, and verse 12, saying with a loud voice, what is the sound coming from these thousands and thousands? I wonder if they have a sound system. Do you think they have a sound system? I don't think so. I don't think so. Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessing. Seven. He lists seven items. Seven is the number of complete, perfect, the way to say something completely. Think of Genesis 1. And 6 days, God created the heavens and earth and all of that. And the seventh day he rested. Seventh day, every Sabbath day, Sabbath month, every seventh month, every seventh year for the Jews. Rest, stop. What you have right in front of you, the seven, Revelation chapter 1, 20. The seven, how do you explain church history? By seven churches, Revelation 2 and 3. I'm going to show you church history of Ephesus to Laodicea. Are we going to do it? There's thousands. Yes, I'm going to show you how to do it. I do it by seven, to share something in its fullness, in its completeness. Now, and here you are looking in chapter 5 and in verse 6 when you come to the end. And in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. Seven, 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 seven. Seven. That's the way he does it. Numbers. He numbers. He tells you how. He's one. He's one. He's the Trinity. He's one and he's three and one. One, one. He uses one. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and therefore, in order to exercise, I thought it might be helpful. Here we are, and we're going to say these seven things. And we're going to go, and we're going to say, worthy is the Lamb. He is absolutely right. He's the right one to do the right things in the right way. And so to receive power, wonderful, wonderful power, dynamite, dynamic power. He's able to do so. So therefore, that's what we're going to say. He is power, power, omnipotent power. All right, we're still here. We aren't there to say it. What am I supposed to do with this word power, dynamite, dynamo? What am I supposed to do? I'm here. I'm supposed to understand these words here, knowing I'm going to have the fullness of those words there. So therefore, exercise, if you can, a little bit, over to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4, 2 Corinthians and chapter 4, picking up if I may. And you will note, in 2 Corinthians and chapter 4, picking up, please, that which you know when we're saved, verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's how we get saved in a wonderful way, when I receive the Lord as my Savior. Verse 7, but, we have this treasure, earthen vessels, vessels of clay, think of Jeremiah. We have this treasure, earthen vessels, that purpose, the excellency of the power, the superabounding, wonderful, wonderful awesomeness of the power may be of God and not of us. So God does a wonderful thing in saving us. That's how God saves us in a most wonderful way. God does it. It isn't because, like in John 1:12, 1:13, it isn't any human anything. Human, will, flesh, anything, verse 13 in John 1:12. It isn't that. It's all of God, God's wonderful doing. So therefore, God. So we're saved. So how do we live in a way to be pleasing to God? God enables us in his power, his wonderful, wonderful enabling us. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and in 2 Corinthians 12, you remember Paul. Paul is exercised in a wonderful way. He was exposed to heaven like John. And so God helped Paul, so he has a physical problem that doesn't go away, to keep him earthbound. Verse 9. And he said unto me, I'll read verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me, that God would heal me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient enough for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. And the word power and the word strength, the same word, power, strength. God said, My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul says, well, I'm going to glory in my flesh. We just read it in verse 7. We are an earthen vessel. It isn't some super-duper thing we're doing. No, we're looking to God to be God. That's what we're doing. And we're looking for God to do it so that we're exercising the relationship. Ephesians chapter 3. And in Ephesians chapter 3, going directly, if I can, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, out of our reach, totally out of our reach, we're only vessels of clay. It's beyond God, what God does. All that we ask, according to the power that worketh in us. So it isn't anything about us. So as we're going, God, how are we going to live through the day and the hour and everything else that's happening? How are we going to make it? We're going to have to go and look to you. And you're a wonderful Savior. That's what we're supposed to be enjoying, walking in the light as thou art in the light. And we're supposed to be exercising our relationship to you prayerfully. And as we do that, abiding like the branch in the vine. And we're abiding and looking to God as we do it. And we're going to go and thank God in the sense that we're going to have, God's going to do what he's going to do to keep us, to outwork everything in his most wonderful, wonderful way. That's what God's going to do. And God's going to do that. So we need to exercise what? Being saved. Exercise being saved. You have a wonderful Savior to save the heart. And God cares, casting all your care upon him. Be saved. Exercise thanking God that you're a child of God, a son of God, that you're saved. Exercise it with thanksgiving in a world that doesn't even know what we're doing. They don't even understand. They don't want to understand. They don't want to. But you want to be saved. And we practice here. And God's looking for the fullness of there, where we say, God, to you all glory and honor, power. It's all yours. It's all of you, God. Now, and the second thing, in Revelation and in chapter 12, receive power and riches, wonderful, wonderful riches, riches, riches. God, to make rich, wealthy, wealthy, abundant, very great. So God, that's a wonderful thing. We're going to give God wonderful recognition for his riches. Well, here we are exercising on earth the riches. Over to Ephesians. And if I can, in Ephesians and in chapter 1, picking up, please. Ephesians 1, may I go directly to verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. How much forgive? What kind of forgiveness? According to the riches of his grace. Christ is the grace of God. God has forgiven us our sins according to the riches of his grace. There, we're going to thank God and honor God who's worthy for his riches. But we're here, so we're already, our odors, practice, praying, looking to God. We're practicing being rich in the rich wealth, the wealthiness of God. Go with me over to verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in you. In you. In you. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in you. Don't say rich. The riches, God. Hang on to all that. Now, so that's an awesome thing, God. That's right. It's a wonderful thing. And therefore, the riches of his grace. And in Ephesians chapter 2, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Now we just said, here we are on planet Earth, but we're going to be in heaven. We're going to count him worthy of the riches. What are we going to do in heaven? Who hath raised us up together, verse 6, chapter 2, sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's going to put us there, verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We're going to be kings, priests, rich, the riches of his grace. That's going to happen. God, what do you mean? You're going to be saved in a most wonderful, 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 wonderful way. That's what you're going to be doing. And that's what they have. So what are we doing? We're going to practice being saved here with the riches of his grace, the wonderful, wonderful riches. Over, if I can, chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with all might, with might, by his Spirit in the inner man, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Riches of glory. God's given us his glory. John 17, remember, verse 22. That's what gave us his glory. The wealth, the worth, the weight, wonderful. And the riches. And if you're right here, you might as well see it, Philippians, God keeps saying it. In Philippians and in chapter 4, you know, verse 19, that my God, 4 and 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, who we're rich, this riches, wealth, abundance. There's no shortness of anything. It's all there. Well, what are we doing? Well, we're supposed to understand we aren't walking around waiting for the lottery like we mentioned this morning. We aren't trying to do that. We don't need to do that. We don't have to have a lot. We may have nothing, but we're always rich. We're always rich. We're never broke. We're always rich when we have nothing. Because the riches aren't of us. The riches are of God. Where are the riches kept? In the person of Jesus Christ, so that we don't lose them. The riches are there. They're never going to go away. The wonderful, wonderful riches. Now, back over to Revelation, and in chapter 5. And was slain to receive power, riches, and then we have what? Wisdom. Wisdom. God's wonderful, wonderful wisdom. Now, so the wisdom. Well, I wish we need to be wise. There's no question about it. Now, God, how are we going to do it? God, we aren't very wise, so you've got to help us. So therefore, over to Colossians, and in Colossians, God has a wonderful, wonderful thing for us to pray. And God said, I want you to, what does God want? He wants us to be pleasing. He's there to make it happen. He wants us to work out our relationship to God, Philippians 2, 12 and 13. And it is God which worketh in us to make it happen. So when it comes to wisdom, chapter 1, his prayer. God, what are you looking for us? What are you praying for? Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire what? That you might be filled with all the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wow, and you're going to do that. Well, where am I going to get that? Colossians 2 and verse 3. I'm going to read verse 2 to give you the context a little better. Colossians 2, 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom our relationship, the vine and the branch, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So our unique relationship to God is to be exercised. Chapter 3 of Colossians. We're to exercise these things here. What's it going to do them there? Colossians 3, picking up please. In verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. So what are we going to do? We're to dwell in you, the Word of God, to richly. That's why we try to read each verse, each book. We try to put the pieces together so that we can have all the stuff we can get from this. No. We want to get the most. Wow. Because it's the riches, verse 16, the riches of all wisdom in God you've given us in your word. So we're going to go and exercise our relationship to God, his word, so that we have the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, if I can, over in Ephesians, and in chapter 1, you'll recall, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Prudence is the purposeful exercising management. Think of management. Wise management. Prudence. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Verse 8, abounding toward us in all wisdom and prudence. God is going to manage things, and he's going to do it in his wisdom. So God, what are we doing? We're looking to you, to our work, your wife, in an all-wise, all-wonderful way. You're going to do it. So we're looking for you to take care of it in a most wonderful way. And that's what God's going to do in his most sovereign way. So God, we're looking, and therefore there's wisdom. And we're looking to your wisdom. We're looking for your management to our work, hour by hour of our life. That's how we're doing it. And it has to work out. All the things are there, the things we can't understand, things we can't fix, things we don't even what can we do? Trust God. When everything fails, thank God and trust him. Thank God and trust him when all else fails. God is caring more about it that it works out right than you and I do. God knows how to make it work out for his pleasure, and we want his pleasure. So God, we want your pleasure in this. So help us. Not our pleasure. If you're pleased, we're pleased. Now, having said that, over to Revelation, end of chapter 5. And you will note power, wisdom, and strength. Wonderful, wonderful strength. To be strong, powerful, ability, able to do, exceeding abundant, etc. And we just read in Ephesians 1:8, the riches of God's wonderful, wonderful wisdom and word and exercising. So here we are looking about strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So, having said that, back over to Ephesians again for a moment. And in Ephesians, and picking up, we're looking at what? We're looking at strength. So in Ephesians, picking up, verse 19, and what is the exceeding riches, exceeding greatness, of his power to usward, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. The mighty, and as you come to the end of verse 19, according to the working of his mighty, there's your word, strong, mighty, strong, ability, might, a mighty power, his mighty power. Where? In us, for us, in a most wonderful way. And God, in your doing that, how does that come out for us? Over to Ephesians, in chapter 6. God's wonderful working, that's what God's doing. So what are we going to do in the light of the evil that's there? We're going to have to put on the whole armor of God, verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now, God, we're going to do it, but, back up to verse 10, finally, what do we have to have? My brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power, there's your word, of his might. God's wonderful, wonderful power, his wonderful, wonderful power to do. Now, how are we going to do it? We have to be strong, be of good courage. We're going to have to look to God. God said we have to help us. And we walk by faith so that we can be strong. We're looking to God to help us so that we get through it. And now how are we going to do that, God? Galatians and chapter 6. And in Galatians and chapter 6, you'd recall Paul, verse 14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is what we started with, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And so the world sees Paul as crucified. What do we think? The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. So Paul says, the world looks at my relationship to God as foolishness. The opposite. Paul said, I look to the world and I see them in the cross. They see me in a cross, foolishness. I see them in a cross, condemned. Next verse, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor availeth the word, there's your little word, avail, to be strong. Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth, there's strong, anything, he doesn't, no might to it, nor uncircumcision. What counts? Being a new creature. You're a new creature. When God saved, old things have passed away, everything becomes new. God makes you a new creature in a most wonderful way to exercise your newness. That's what you do. You exercise it. You're saying, I'm saved. I'm a child of God, a son of God. God's my Savior. God saves me. Saves me, is saving me, will save me. God's doing all of those wonderful things in my life and for my life in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, I'm going to say that, over to 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 1, we'll go over there twice, 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, God, are you able to do it? I'm going to go chapter 1, 2 Corinthians, in verse 7. And I'll read verse 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also be of the consolation, the comfort. For, verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant in Corinth of our trouble, our precious squeezing, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. It was overwhelming whether we'd even live. But, verse 9, but we had the sentence, the answer of death in ourselves. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. We had death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death to save us, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He's in the business of saving us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Back over now to Revelation and in chapter 5. And we have, and in the honor, we have honor, strength, and honor. Honor, wonderful, wonderful honor. So now, the word honor, to price, value, get to have to put a value on, to price something, make it, to reverence something, to value something, to say it that way, to value something. And it's used, Revelation 4 and 5, etc. Now, having said that, the price, God, I want to get the price. Over if I can, back over if I can to keep you awake. 1 Corinthians and chapter 6, a price. God, we're going to go and honor you. We're going to recognize the price, the value of your wonderful sacrifice on Calvary's cross, etc. So, here we are looking, if we can, in the honor, and chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, verse 19. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? That's quite something. That's new. That's why you're a new creature. Which is in you. That's where he lives. Finds his home in your heart. That in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. Nope, no more. We're bought with a price. Verse 20, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God, and in your spirits, in your body, and in your spirit, which are God's. You're bought with a price. You're paid for, bought and paid for, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore you want to honor God and look to God. God paid for you. God paid to have you, Revelation, Ephesians 1:18, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in you. God paid for you to be his in a most remarkable, wonderful way. So therefore, 1 Peter, so what are we going to do? Well, we're here. We're going to give him honor there. 1 Peter, if I can, chapter 1, picking up, if I can, in verse 7. That the trial, first, remember we're looking at honor, value, price. Verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious, there's your word, than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God's going to go in his most wonderful way, and he's going to go and honor in verse 7. He's going to go, and we're going to be saved in a wonderful way. And therefore, the trying of our faith is going to make it all work. And why? Because of our relationship to God. What are we doing to have our relationship to God? We value our relationship to God. We put a high price on our relationship to God. Of all my relationship to our family, husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, your physical body relationship bought with a price. What are we going to do? We're putting a value. Where is the value? Where are what's precious to us? It isn't whether we live another day. No, because our life isn't in this body. It isn't whether we get a job or we don't get a job or things work out here and things work out there. No, it isn't about that. What's precious? Chapter 2, if I can, in verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Think of what the odors, the prayers in Revelation 5 and 8, here we are on earth though, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So therefore, when we come to verse 7, precious, 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 precious he is. He's precious, precious. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, not believing, the stone which the builders rejected, disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. He's precious. What's precious to you? He is precious to us. He is precious. That's what chapter 2, verse 7. He is precious. And verse 6, wherefore also it is contained the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. So who's precious? Our relationship to God is precious. We value it. Of all the things you could let go, and all the things that are bad and good, whatever, in your life, you'd never sacrifice being saved. You're bought with a price, already paid for. You belong to God. God gets all the honor. He's precious. Overrides everybody, everything. It overrides the air you breathe, the work you go to, the school you go to, your family, all of it. It overrides everything. What does? My relationship to God is precious. Everything is expendable except my relationship to God. That must never, never be touched. Wow. Thank you. Now, having said that, over again, in Revelation chapter 5, the honor and the glory, the wonderful, wonderful glory in God's wonderful, wonderful way. And you know, glory is the wealth, the worth, the weight, in the Hebrew and all of that. And the impression that is made, the impression that is made, it gets your attention, the glory, the mountain. The mountain was 7 zillion miles high. It got your attention. You looked at the bright sun, and the bright sun gets your attention. You can't avoid it. You can't bypass it. It's there. The sunshine, the brightness is there. The glory, the glory, the glory of God in his most wonderful, wonderful way. The impression about God and his wonderful, wonderful word. And we just read it in Peter without going back to the praise and honor and the glory, praise, honor, and glory. God, all of it is to be outworked, our relationship to God. What are we going to do when we're there? We're going to honor you, our relationship to God. And we're going to do it perfectly, comfortably. We're going to do it. And God, whatever you do is wonderful. And we are witnesses. You took me, you took us, nobody's. And what did you do with us? You made us like your son. Wow. I'm making you like my son to be a son. Now beat that one. Beat that. You can't. That's what I'm doing. Precious. That's right. Everything else is expendable. Not that. Now, having said that, in the light of the glory of God's wonderful, wonderful grace and all that he does, we're to be to the praise of his glory. And we'll do that quickly, just to see it. Ephesians, well, I'll move quickly. In Ephesians, and picking up, please, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, watch it, repeated, 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 repeated. Verse 6, 1 and 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, highly favored, in the beloved, to the praise. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Glory. God, it's all about what you're doing. Verse 14. Which which is the earnest of our inheritance until we redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. God's going to bring us all the way home to be in that wonderful exercise of Revelation 5 when we're singing a new song. We're singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." Wow. Verse 18, again, the end of the verse. That what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God, it's an awesome thing that you're doing. Why are you doing it? Because God is God. God is glorious. Since God is glorious, everything he does is glorious. So whatever he's doing, he does it for what? To show his glory in all the different, whatever he's doing. He gives us his glory to show his glory. In other words, what? To show what? God's wonderful, wonderful keeping. In back in closing Revelation, by that I mean we're closing the seven. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. What's the seventh one? Blessing, blessing, and blessing. Okay, what are we going to do with the blessing? Now, over if you can, quickly, over to Deuteronomy, to chapter 28. Remember it. A wonderful, 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 wonderful thing. Israel just failed to take advantage of it. Revelation chapter 28, and you'd recall, in verse 1, it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. You're going to be a privileged, privileged people in a privileged, wonderful position above them all. Verse 2, how so? And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou hearken unto the Lord, voice of the Lord thy God, and stay in fellowship, the vine and the branch, stay with it, so what? And the word overtake is, think of the lion chasing an antelope, and the lion, antelope, and the lion's going along, and the lion's after the antelope, it's in pursuit. That's the word. Overtake. The blessings of God will overtake the believing heart. You don't have to pray. Remember now, we all these, we don't want to do it time-wise. Deuteronomy 27 of the cursings, and we pray after every cursing. Go to verse 26, chapter 27. 27, 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen. On the cursing. They never say amen for blessing. A blessing is what you get when you go with God. Blessing, to speak well of God. God's wonderful, wonderful. And then you got all the wonderful blessings. Blessing when you go, blessing when you go in, verse 3, blessing shall thou be in the city, blessed shall thou be in the field, blessed will be in the kitchen, blessed will thou be in the bathroom, blessed will thou be everywhere. Wherever you go, God bless you. Bless you. But what's blessing? Blessing, blessing. Giving, God's wonderful giving of his grace, of his favor, of his giving. Blessing, to give, the give, God's giving. And then it turns around and we bless God, to the word blessing, to speak well of. We speak God, we say what? Thank you, God. Thank you. So therefore, and all of the wonderful things, you can read them. Back over, if I can, to in closing, over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians in chapter 1, picking up in the light of that, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace. And we'll close with that. Verse 3. Watch it. Three times is the blessing. Three times. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means The believer speaks very well of God. They speak good of God. They value God. They prize God. God is, their relationship is precious to God. Verse 3, who hath blessed us? That God has already blessed us with ALL, spiritual, and there's your word blessing. God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heaven, in Christ. How many blessings are missing? How many blessings are missing? None. I've done it all. Where are they? In Christ Jesus, your Lord and Savior. When you received him, you got the whole thing. That's what you did. Wow. Wonderful. God, you've done that. That's what I did. You're blessed. I'll read it. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all blessed spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God has provided for us in a most wonderful way. So God, here's these seven little reminding of what we're going to do. What we have now, exercising our relationship to God prayerfully, the prayers of the saints, exercising now, knowing we're going to perfectly be exercised in God's holy, happy heaven. And we're going to have that wonderful, wonderful relationship to God. And God, we're going to go. So we're singing. We're part of the crowd. The angels. And in closing, just think of it, if you would. I'm trying to think of 10,000 times 10,000, myriads upon myriads, thousands upon thousands. That's a lot. And you know what? And there's little old you and me. We're lost. We're right up front. In that big crowd, we're right up front. I have to tell you, right up front, God and wow, we're able to sing. They can't sing it. They didn't get saved. We did. We sang the new song. But we certainly joined them in giving these seven things because you are worthy, Lord, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So Revelation 5 is a stimulus to motivate us, to encourage us until we get there. We're here. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts and help us in every way. And we'll thank you for caring. Thank you for the word as we seek to try to understand it. And we'll thank you very, very, very much in all that we do, all that you do and do and do and don't do. God, thanks. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.